Because it's carnival time. Do 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 carnival. Here we go. This is the real song. Okay, we got it. That's it. We got the carnival time. This is Dave Weiner, and it's Morning Coffee Notes coming to you from Berkeley, California. And we got the sound of the carnival cast in the background. That was part of a podcast done by Brian Oberkirk. He did it on the Mardi Gras day in 2006, this year. The first post-Katrina Mardi Gras. In some way, it might be thought of as the first virtual Mardi Gras. It's the first, I said this when Katrina happened, as sort of like a, let's try to find the silver lining to this cloud. You know, maybe New Orleans will be the first city whose culture will go completely virtual. You know, there still is, oh my God, no, we don't want to listen to that. That was a little carnival time. What comes right after carnival time in my iTunes is Cranky Geeks. Here, let's just play the theme song for that. Here. Kind of nice, huh? A little bit of a polka there. But
hi, welcome to another episode.
You don't even want to know. You don't even want to know who that is. So, anyway. Carnival Geeks. Maybe that's who we are. Somebody just signed on. Valmont just signed on to the IRC channel. If you want to join us live, where this is a live webcast, unfortunately, it will not be, this will be archived, fortunately. Looks like it, at least. There's a stream file, a WMA file that's being created on my Windows XP machine, and it looks to be the right size. It's growing as the webcast goes forward. And so this is being live streamed. If you want the directions to how to get onto the stream, you're listening to the stream, you want directions to get onto the IRC channel, that would be at bloggercon.org/IV/webcast. And if you scroll towards the bottom of the page, you'll see there's instructions on how to get onto the IRC channel. Come on to the IRC, and I'll listen to the rant, you know, react to whatever it is I say, tell me I'm full of shit. Then I promise I'll make fun of you, and then I'm going to ask you what the song is. The song is, of course, the crucial question of the day. What is the song? What song will we sing at the opening session of BloggerCon, which is actually now less than, 24 hours away? Gulp. That comes from that came from a movie called Spanglish. Really kind of interesting, cute little movie. The wife, I forget the actress's name, says when she says something that makes her sort of think twice, she says gulp. Anyway, yes, gulp. BloggerCon is less than 24 hours away. By now, we'll know whether or not it worked or didn't work. I think it's going to work. I'm knock wood. Praise Murphy. I'm not a lawyer. My mother loves me. Do you ever understand? What does that mean when I say my mother loves me? It means I know you hate me, but at least someone loves me. It's a good thing to say if somebody is giving you a lot of whatever, a lot of grief. And God knows, you try doing a conference, especially a free conference where nobody pays to get in. The last week of the conference, everybody just dumps all their crap on your plate and says, here, you deal with this. And you have to stay cheerful through the whole thing, because the number one rule of conference giving is don't panic. Just don't panic. Whatever you do, don't panic. Everybody else is going to panic. Alex says he's recording now, but can't guarantee anything. That's good. Thanks, Alex. Much appreciated. I'm recording too, so between the two of us, maybe we'll actually get something coming out of it. So in the last week before any conference, and not only that, it's kind of curious. You want to say to people, look, this is the week to get back to me quickly, be really quick. Try to cut me a little bit of slack and, dump a lot of crap on my plate. And if I call you, return the call, quickly, because I can't really afford to sit around and wait for the return call. But of course, most of the time you do spend sitting around waiting for the call to come back. And it's okay. In the end, it's all worth it. And a couple of weeks after the conference is over, you forget all the sort of weird stuff and you remember all the good stuff. And no doubt there's going to be some good stuff. The really good thing, and you never know. Looking forward, you never know what, when you look backward, will be the thing that you remember about an event. But I'm hoping and I'm expecting and I think that the thing that we will look back on that was the big event here was Technography. And what it's a fancy word, and it's maybe not the best. It's like it is, like all these things. That come up with a better word. It's still early. We could call it something else, but the name actually goes all the way back to the 80s. And this is when I was doing a product called a bunch of them, Think Tank, Ready, and More. These were all outliners. And what we noticed is that if you have an outline, a projected outline, one that everybody in a room can see during a meeting. And you have a person who's responsible for keeping notes of the meeting in the outline, it very quickly transforms into something other than just here's somebody passively taking notes. It all of a sudden becomes very, very interactive. People start pointing at the outline. They sometimes get up to the whiteboard if it's being projected on a whiteboard and start pointing at things on the outline. Say, here, move this item to the top of the list, put this one underneath this one, create a new category here, and move these three items underneath that category. And what ends up coming out of it, if you're having like a planning meeting or a business meeting, is that the people in the meeting have a way of saying, this is what we agreed to. Here are the action items that we've agreed to. This is what, Mary agreed to do. This is what Joseph agreed to do. This is what, everybody said, we're going to do this. And then after the fact, you can have another meeting where you start off with the outline from the previous meeting. And it seems to increase the value of the time that you spend. And so the feeling is that the blogging community could use this, and we're going to give it a try. The guy who's going to do the Technography is the inestimable, inevitable, indefatigable, completely humorous Doc Searles, a guy with the ability to turn a pun at the turn of a hat. He can make you laugh even when you think you're about to cry. Doc is the, I think, the right guy for this one. He knows a lot of the people in the room. Everybody knows Doc, and everybody likes Doc. Doc likes everybody, and so it should be pretty good. I think the song, I don't know what the song's going to be. I mean, past songs have been Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We sang that one in the first BloggerCon, I believe. Nick Douglas just signed off. So quick, dump whatever dirt you got now, because it's not going to end up in Valley Wag. Ha ha, a fat chance of that. Yeah, I know. Whatever. What was I saying? Ugh, completely forgot. This is what happens. You know, you got a to-do list that's like flowing off the, and then it's hot. It's just hot here. Let's see what the temperature is right now. Let's see. Oh, not available. Oh, 74 degrees, not too bad. But the high today in Berkeley is going to be 94 degrees. By Monday, it should be cooling down a little bit, back down in the 80s, 83 degrees. 94 degrees is unheard of hot. It's funny, yesterday I had to go do some shopping in the middle of the day. I got up and went, drove over to Emeryville, right by the freeway, and it was 70 degrees, where it had been 94 degrees or whatever in the 90s where I live, which is just about 3 miles inland from Emeryville. Emeryville, of course, is right on San Francisco Bay, and it's just dramatic, the effect that the water has, the water temperature has on the temperature, on the climate. This is the land of the microclimate here in the Bay Area. So let's talk a little bit about BloggerCon and what's going to happen tomorrow. So first session is called the National Anthem. And at the National Anthem, as I mentioned, well, first of all, I review the ground rules for the day and for the format of BloggerCon, which basically is that the conference is like a weblog, and there's a discussion leader. There's no audience. There's no panel. There's no speaker. There is a discussion leader, and there's the room, and everybody in the room, with the exception of the discussion leader, is on equal footing. Everybody, and I guess there are some exceptions. This is a users conference. So vendors are certainly allowed to speak, but they're certainly not allowed to pitch their products. It's just absolutely not allowed, because there are a lot of reasons. One is there are plenty of conferences where vendors do pitch their products. This one's different. This one is about and for the users. And so of course, products may come up, especially like, for example, at the first session, which is called Tools, it probably will be mostly about products. So how can we talk about products without vendor product pitches? It's quite easy. We just talk about the products. If the vendor of a product that's being discussed happens to be in the room, they can actually speak about the product under very special circumstances. That is, if the discussion leader asks them to. But don't ask to be allowed to speak about your product. Everybody wants to say yes. You know, everybody, you know, wants to be a nice guy, and they're going to want to say yes, and they hate to say no. It's really rude to ask if you can talk about your product. Just wait, and maybe the discussion leader will ask you to say a little bit about your product because it came up. But maybe they won't, and that's not the end of the world either. Because if one vendor starts talking about their product, then every other vendor in the room feels like they should be allowed to talk about their product, and then the vendors who aren't even in the room will feel like they got cheated because they weren't invited to talk about their product. And all of a sudden, we're back to just a normal software industry conference where everybody's promoting their products in the guise of talking about meaningful issues. Well, we just avoid that completely, and we just don't talk about vendors don't talk about their end products. And it works out pretty good as long as people, you know, play by that rule. What else? No droning, you know, no repeating, no speeches, please. I mean, you know, this is meant to be a story. It's supposed to be lively and interesting. When people start giving speeches, then the conversation moves out into the hallway. And we want to keep we want the conversation that normally is in the hallway at most conferences to actually be in the room at this conference and be put out on the webcast and to be talked about on the IRC and to be in the record of the podcast. So that's why no speeches, no droning. It's like a blog. The blogger is the discussion leader, and the discussion leader's job is to create an interesting story out of the room. So, you know, people fall into their old habits very, very easily. They start raising their hands. Well, try not to raise your hand. You know, unless the discussion leader says, "Would anybody like to comment on this?" Then, of course, please do raise your hand. But don't raise your hand with the expectation that you're entitled to speak. That's just wrong. Not at this conference. Okay. And I've certainly, you know, I've participated in supposed unconferences where the ground rules were not discussed a priority, and it just grinds down into the normal crap where people raise their hand. Certain people raise their hand all the time. They have the expectation that they're going to be called on every time they raise their hand. And if, God forbid, they don't get called on, that hand just goes higher and higher and higher. And then the discussion becomes about, well, why didn't you call on me? Which is going to send everybody out into the hallway to talk about, well, who's that, you know, who's that guy who, or whatever, who's that person who thinks that this conference is all about them? And it's not all about you. It's about trying to learn. It's trying to meet other people, hear different points of view, maybe even, God forbid, solve a few problems. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, but all those other things count too. It's, but let's not like have a boring discussion or conference or whatever. Let's try to keep it interesting. So the tools session, which will be the first session, it's going to be led by Phil Terone from Make Magazine, who is, you know, an absolutely brilliant guy, very creative, fountain of ideas. I wanted Phil to lead this discussion for a few reasons. One is Phil's not ever been to a BloggerCon, so his point of view on this stuff is all very fresh, and that's, I think, pretty good. He also is a user's user, if you will. He's sort of like got zero industry in him. And so what we're going to talk about with Phil leading our discussion are the tools that we use to be bloggers in 2006. This is picking up on a thread that we've had at, you know, every BloggerCon, basically, in different names. At the last BloggerCon, it was called Information Overload. I don't remember what it was called at the previous BloggerCons. We had one year, the first year, I think it was, John Udell led a discussion about RSS aggregators, I think it was, because that was the new thing at the time. Blogging tools were pretty well understood, we felt. And this year, there's such a wide variance of different kinds of tools that people use now, ranging from, you know, the basic blogging tool, you know, the thing that you use to actually post your weblog, to things for managing your pictures, for managing your bookmarks, for managing movies, all kinds of collaborative tools, and lots of, you know, all the things that people call Web 2.0, which are tools that bloggers use. And so what's new, and what secrets have you discovered? What would you like, what would improve everybody's lot? What, you know, sort of a Make Magazine approach to, you know, here are the cool things that you should be looking at if you're a blogger in 2006. And I thought Phil Terone would be the greatest guy possible to lead this discussion. And I asked him, and he said yes. He expressed a few doubts about whether or not he could actually do it. And I said, don't worry, Phil. We'll be there to help you and support you. And, you know, and we will. And the, let's see, I have the monitors for, I'm going to try to mention, I'm not going to go through all the sessions, by the way. I'm just going to go through the first few sessions. The discussion leader monitors, the people who actually carry the microphones around. And please don't try to grab the microphone from the monitor. The monitor's job is to own that microphone. And this is the ultimate protection against people sort of like feeling. I mean, if you hold the microphone in your hand, it gives you a certain feeling that you're just entitled to speak until you're finished. If somebody else is holding the microphone, you kind of feel like, okay, I better make my point pretty quickly because this microphone could disappear at any second, and it will disappear. It will disappear quickly, so make your point quickly. So the monitors for the tool session are two veteran BloggerCon people. They're Lisa Williams and Robert Cox. Lisa will be leading the emotional life discussion, which is at the end of the first day. And Lisa was an original member of the Berkman Thursday group, which is where BloggerCon came out of, the Berkman Center at Harvard Law School, which is where the first two BloggerCons were rooted, and Lisa was a regular there, and she led a discussion at every BloggerCon. I'm not sure. Lisa will probably let us know. I don't know if Lisa's probably on an airplane right now, actually, so I'm sure she's not on the on the IRC. So that's the tools discussion. Then following that, and then by the way, there's a break between every session, a 15-minute break between every two sessions. Then there's the citizen journalism discussion, which is led by Jay Rosen. And Jay also, I believe, has been at every BloggerCon starting at the first one. Jay was a discovery at the first BloggerCon. I had never met him until he came. I actually had not even heard of him. He was brought there by I hate it when this happens. I'm going to let this go through because this is not just a trial run webcast. This is a real... Man, is that distracting or what? Yeah. People think that that ringtone is pretty funny. I kind of like it. It's one of the default standard sort of ringtones on the Nokia cell phone. El Cheapo Nokia. I have a really good cell phone, too, which is the one I use for EVDO. Anyway, citizen journalism. Jay Rosen was brought to us by Jeff, Buzz Machine. Yeah, I got Alzheimer's. This is really embarrassing. I want to say Jeff Walsh, but of course that's not his name. All right, well, of course, I've now insulted him. He's a very good friend of mine. help! I have to figure this one out. Hold on, give me a second. See, this is what happens when you get to be my age, the elder age of 51 years old. Jeff Jarvis. Hello. Thank you. Jeff Jarvis, my good friend, who brought us Jay Rosen and Buzz Machine and the stealth startup that nobody's allowed to talk about, which I've been briefed on, which I can't talk about. It's that very wonderful stuff. It's, so wonderful that I actually I gave him some money. Where was I? Yes, citizen journalism. Jay has been writing about this idea since way before there were even blogs. His idea was very much the same idea that blogging is based on and that unconferences are based on, which is that if you take a room, okay, the unconference thesis is that if you take a room that a conference is being held in and you figure out where all the expertise is and experience and intelligence and so forth, obviously, the preponderance of it is sitting there in, you know, what we used to call the audience with their hands folded, waiting for the Q&A period to ask some questions of the really supposedly smarter people who are in the front of the room, which, because they have spent so much time being nervous and preparing slides and worrying about whether they forget this or that or the other thing, and that they're so overwhelmed with pride that they've been chosen to be the smartest person in the room, it basically net effect is that decreases their intelligence. If it ever was greater than the people sitting in the room, it's no longer after. I came to this conclusion after being bored out of my mind sitting in countless conferences with nothing to think about other than how could we do this better. And it was pretty obvious for a long time that this was the way to go. So Jay noticed the same thing about journalism, that you know, if you were to add up the sum of, if you were to say the room is all the people reading the newspaper and the people writing it, and of course people publishing, and if you make the room including all those people, obviously the news is happening out in the whole space, not just as perceived by the people who are reporting the news. And in fact, the longer you report the news, the more sort of skewed your point of view is, the more jaded you get, the more you write about conventional wisdom. These are my ideas, by the way, not necessarily Jay's. The more you write about conventional wisdom instead of what is actually happening, and we drift, and to the point where, you know, you end up with the New York Times publishing a mea culpa on the war in Iraq, saying, well, we didn't do our job, we didn't ask the questions we were supposed to ask, the questions that any thinking person was thinking, but we didn't dare ask either, that they're supposed to be asking those questions, and when they don't ask those questions, it's not just enough to say, well, we're sorry, we screwed up. It's not enough. We need to change that system so that we have some really good assurance that that won't happen again. And we haven't actually done that. We haven't actually yet changed the system. And so Jay promises that this time, and Jay is an incredible discussion leader. He's alive. He's opinionated. He's challenging. You'll sit there in the room and he will get you so goddamn angry that you'll just have to say something. And that's exactly his technique. And that's why he is such an incredible discussion leader. What makes somebody an incredible discussion leader, by the way, there's no single formula to it. There's no absolute way to do it. You know, there's lots of different ways people do it. And Jay's way is just one of them. There are other great discussion leaders, Jeff Jarvis, of course, being one, who really adopts the Phil Donahue approach, and really he is meticulous at calling out people in the room, and he is a student of that room. He understands who all the people are, and he's thinking five steps ahead in terms of who he wants to be speaking next. And of course, I think Jay does that as well. Then there's Scott Rosenberg, who unfortunately will not be there this time, be here with us this time, who has a completely different method for doing it, but also generates a great result. I found, by the way, for people who are doing BloggerCon style conferences, that it's the best people for the discussion leader job are reporters and professors. And I actually think professors are better because professors have that sort of the showmanship that comes if they're good. Obviously, a lot of professors just, you know, bore you to tears. Those are not good discussion leaders. But they, a good professor knows how to engage a room in and make that discussion just, you love the discussion. For a great, I mean, I can tell you, I've had some wonderful professors when I was a student, and I would always look forward to those classes. I would think, man, we're going to have some great discussions here. And that's the sign of a good discussion leader, is if they get people to say interesting things, that's a good discussion leader. Then we're going to go to lunch. And then after lunch, two sessions that are absolutely central to the theme of this BloggerCon. And the first is called Users in Charge, and the second is called Standards for Users. And because this BloggerCon is being held in San Francisco, and not just any part of San Francisco, it's being held in the South Market area, and specifically in the CNET building. And this you could think of as the heart of the new technology industry. It's where the headquarters of the web, it's where the headquarters of Web 2.0 are, basically. When a company starts up these days, a Web 2.0 company, the first place they look for office space is down South of Market in this area. So it's symbolic that I wanted to do this right off the BART line. We're, you know, three blocks away from the Embarcadero. I think it's Embarcadero, or is it Montgomery Street? One of the BART stops is right there. I always take BART to get there, but I always walk there from somewhere else. You basically can get off. It's Montgomery Street. You get off Montgomery. You walk down New Montgomery Street and right by the Palace Hotel, and you make a, what is it? You make a left, and you go one block to 2nd Street, and you make a right. So it's one, two, three blocks from the BART station. And I'm trying to turn a little corner here, because we've all focused on, in many ways, we've focused on the right thing, okay? We've focused, this Web 2.0 thing has a lot of things right, okay? It's good to see the industry, this technology industry, think about user-generated content, tools for user-generated content, even though the term user-generated content betrays a completely wrong point of view, okay? In other words, and this is something I was hoping to get to talk about, and I may not get the time. I'm going to try to cut this a little short, but or segue into it, is that it's not enough to make tools for users to generate content. That is the easy part of the transition that this new web requires of companies. That's the easy part. The hard part is changing your point of view. The hard part is to stop seeing yourself as somehow above the user and start seeing yourself as being a user, creating tools for other users. That is where the power is in this world. And that is where the money is going to be made, is by people who don't have to learn. I wrote this in How to Make Money on the Internet part version 2.0, which I wrote about 5 years ago. And the paradox is this, is that it's easier for a user to become a manufacturer than it is for a manufacturer to become a user. And you would think the opposite is true, because all through our lives, we've heard, if you were born and raised in the 20th century, like we all were, all through our lives, we've been hearing that the companies employ these magicians, these wizards. In fact, you know, you even had a company called General Magic, and I think they called their engineers wizards. And they have these people who live in the very high towers. They breathe air that's much finer than the rest of us. And every few months or years, they come down from their tower, and they present us with the gift of their genius, at which point we genuflect and we praise them and we buy their product and we make them billionaires. And they return to their tower, and then they go back to work on the next miracle that they're going to create, and then do it again. The gods come down, they give us their gift, they go back. Before they go back, we give them our love, we give them our money, we give them our admiration. Well, that's the old model, and it isn't the model anymore. That isn't where success is bred. That's why Bill Gates has had so much trouble making sense of the world that he lives in now and has been living in pretty much for his entire career. See, Bill Gates was successful early in his career because he was exactly that. What I described. He was a user making tools for other users. But then the company that he started grew to be so large, and then they adopted them like Apple and like Netscape and like every other Silicon Valley company. Google is the worst at this. Like every one of these companies, they adopted this, the air I breathe is finer than the air you breathe. I was born with better genes than you were born with. I know things that you will never know. Okay? That's the assumption. That's the presumption. You know, for some people, it's probably true that they do know some things that other people will never know. But as you get more and more successful, it becomes less and less true. It's really one of the ironies of life. You know, it's why second-time entrepreneurs never make it. You know, why the second time? It's the same reason why Bill Gates, who really is a second-time entrepreneur, he crossed the line in like 1990, 1991, or somewhere in there, where Windows became the dominant operating system, and he was no longer a user anymore. And that was when he started his second company, which was the IBM of the late 20th century. And now things have run its course, and the world really, you know, and they exert all this energy just to stay where they are. It's like, we're going to stay here. And it works for a little while, and everybody goes, me too. You know, you won, Bill, you got it. You managed to kill Netscape. Now what are you going to do? Of course, and then he has absolutely no ideas other than to let the browser descend into a miasma of malware and just completely become, I mean, he had no more ideas. And you might argue that he never had an idea, okay? Bill Gates' big idea was, I'm going to steal the big ideas that other people come up with. And he was really, really, really good at doing that. But unfortunately for Bill Gates, the new ideas that came up after a certain point did not make any sense for his company. He couldn't do them without destroying the company. And that was what he needed to do, unfortunately. And if he wasn't going to do it, it was going to be done for him eventually. And now we're at the point where it's got about 2 to 5 years to run before everybody's going to see that. Okay, that basically there is no point in them improving their operating system. It's just too big. It's too cumbersome. It's about as ridiculous as it was for Apple to try to improve the Mac OS. and you know, you end up with a hairball on a hairball on a hairball, and it just becomes, and who cares? I mean, it doesn't matter. It matters so little that it's just completely peripheral to anything anybody talks about. Nobody worries about Vista. Nobody wonders about Vista. Nobody is excited about Vista. Nobody cares about Vista. And nobody cares that Bill Gates is moving on to do the next thing in his life. And that's why everybody sort of like goes, okay, goodbye, Bill. You know, you did good, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's not what the history books should say, and I hope that isn't what they do say, because there are lessons to be learned from this, is that when companies reach that point where they get so big that it's time to start disassembling them for the good of everybody, including themselves. Same thing's happening with Dell. Dell started, user becomes a manufacturer. Has it ever been more clear that that's what happened? Michael was the college student who started a computer company in his dorm room at the University of Texas. Okay, well, it's now the largest computer company in the world. It's bigger than IBM. It's bigger than Apple. It's bigger than Sun. It's bigger than everybody. Can they be that thing that he started anymore? No. Are there any more exciting ideas in computers? You bet there are. Lots of them. It's going to take some time to get around these big messes that these big guys from the top of their mountains make. And that's why users ultimately are really all that matter, because that's where the innovation will come from. And to the extent that we allow that to happen and we stop putting that focus on the industry and stop thinking that all the great ideas come from the podium and come from the panel, and start thinking that the room has the answers, we're going to be closer to what actually is happening in the world that we live in. So, wow, I got it. I made the point. That was the point I was hoping that I would have time to make. And that's it. There's not much more to say other than I would like to play you all a song. Let me just go check the IRC channel and see how we're doing over there. And if nothing... Well, there seem to be quite a few people there. Are you all listening? What do you think? Make any sense? Oh, look, Jarvis. Lisa Williams says, Jarvis, no, you haven't at school. I don't know what she's saying. No, you haven't too. But that was obviously a while ago. I should have been looking at the goddamn screen when I was trying to figure it out. Anyway, I'm going to call this a podcast, and I'm going to thank you all for listening, and I'm looking forward to BloggerCon tomorrow and the future beyond that. So let me just find a Carnival Cast song here to play. Let's see. Let me get my browser up here. Where was that? Here we go. How about... let's play this. Oh, wait. Going down to New Orleans. That's what I want. Where is it? Yeah, Mardi Gras. It's Professor Longhair. Here we go. Okay, we'll see you all tomorrow then.
Ticket in my hand. When I get to Yorley, I wanna see the zoo.